The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Patty, and today we're going to talk about anger. Reason being, as I see it every single day in my private practice, witness it all over the place, notice it in people, and I've always taught people that I see in therapy that anger is so important. How you understand it, what you do with it, what you're like, how you handle it in others. It's just a very, very important aspect of our lives as human beings to really get a handle on understanding anger. One of the things I hear so often in my practice is, I don't like myself when I'm angry. People will say, I lose my temper, I cause a lot of harm, I create a lot of animosity, I've harmed relationships, and after my explosive anger's all over, I don't like myself. And so that's what often leads people into therapy, is relationships have been ruined, or they've been told that they have to get help, or I'm going to leave you if you don't get a handle on your anger. So they'll come into therapy and say, I'm just a very angry person. So in this show today, I want to talk to you about anger and some of the different aspects of how it shows up. But I also want to teach you how to use anger as a tool. I see anger as an insight into our own soul, how we deal with it and what triggers us and how we respond when something does make us angry is a real reflection on how developed we are. How mature, how developed, how communicative. What are your skill levels in dealing with the frustrations of life? So I want to break this down, have you really understand it. And by the last portion of the show, if you have an anger problem that's hurting your relationships or harming you, I want you to be able to say, this is how I can start to work on that. And also, if you've got a really bad anger problem, encouraging you to reach out and get some help, to have a tour guide into who you are, to figure out why you are so angry. So let's look at the idea that anger starts with a feeling that someone has harmed you or someone you care about. You're being attacked in some way, even if it's minute, or you're feeling like you're being harmed. Now, it's interesting because people get mad at other people. They also get mad at inanimate objects. You'll see them get super frustrated that they can't get their socks on, or that the stupid drawer won't open, or what is wrong with the dishwasher? Oh my gosh, you know, and we see that all the time, right? So that's an insight into our soul too. What is your frustration tolerance? And what I mean by that is, when something goes wrong, how calm do you stay? Say you can't get the blankety-blank drawer open. Do you sit there and look at it and go, wow, I wonder what's stuck in there? And you kind of figure it out and you work it and maybe you ask for help if you need it. Or do you start cussing and swearing at the drawer and think the drawer's out to get you almost? And then what's wrong with these blankety-blank drawers in this stupid kitchen? And, you know, and you go off on the drawer. What are you like? So what I'm asking you is, what's your frustration tolerance like? Do things easily make you irritated and mad and put you over the edge? Or do you tend to stay calm and figure things out and work with it? Some of that is dependent on what was modeled for you as a child. So if you have a very low frustration tolerance, you probably have one parent that used to go off like that all the time, or a sibling that did that a lot. If you have high frustration tolerance, it was probably modeled for you, don't get angry, figure it out. If you get angry, it doesn't get you anywhere. Calm down, figure this out. So some of it is by what you were taught. Some of it is also how you're hardwired. We might see a little kid who has two very patient parents who have high frustration tolerance, and that little kid has zero frustration tolerance. And maybe it's because they have ADHD or they have something biochemically imbalanced. But often it's just how they're hardwired. So what I'm asking you right now is, what is your frustration tolerance? Do you tend to be calm and collected and work things out, or do you go off getting really angry very quickly? So if you look at anger as something happening to you and now you have to figure things out, it's really cool, because in the second section of the show, I'm going to teach you how to look below anger and figure out what's going on inside of you. Because anger has kind of a cycle. There's something that'll trigger you, right? Whether it's the drawer that's stuck, or somebody hurt your feelings, or you're worried that you're going to lose your job, or something is unfair. I see some people so attached to fairness that if something is unfair, they get super angry, and they feel really justified getting angry. So there's a trigger. Then once the trigger happens, then you start to boil. You feel things escalating. You can feel the anger rising. Then it will turn into some kind of scene. It'll either be kind of chaotic, or it'll be a crisis, or it'll be a yelling match, or things might come out of your mouth that you wish you hadn't said. There's an explosion of some sort. Sometimes it's a little explosion. Sometimes it's a big, huge explosion. Then there's a recovery. The recovery is usually where you're calming down and you're getting a handle on it, and you might even be going, gosh, I'm just sorry I lost my temper, but that was so frustrating. That's the recovery stage. And then following recovery is often regret. Why did I lose my temper? I shouldn't have said those things. I said things that weren't true, or I didn't mean them. I said things only to hurt that person's feelings. I brought up stuff that I never should have repeated. I blew secrets out of the water that shouldn't have been said. There is that period of regret and angst about, what did I do? What harm did I create? So look at that pattern. It's really important, because you've got to be able to see where you are in the cycle of anger in order to get a handle on it. So my point right now is that anger is an insight into who you are. It speaks to what you value, and it speaks to what traumas you've had in the past. The reaction you have, whether it's one of patience or hot, red-hot anger or unfairness, or justifiable righteous indignation, and you get mad, it's an insight into where you have been and how you've been raised and what are the things you've been through in your life. We often hear people say things like, you know, I just can't stand watching that happen, because when I was little, that happened to me, and it just makes me mad when I see that happening to someone else. Okay, and maybe that's justifiable anger. Maybe they're coloring it with their own crayons. One of the things I talk about in my book is that we all come in with some crayons. Put it in any spiritual, religious framework you want. Past lives, birth trauma, God gives you things to work on. Put it in any framework. But we all have crayons in our box. And when you have trauma crayons and negative crayons that color things in a very harsh way, if you pull those out of your box first, that's where anger, frustration, and things like that can happen in your current life, in your current situation. So the more you recognize what's in your box and the more you're in charge of it, then you can choose which crayons to pull out and how you want to color a certain situation. Like, it might be okay to acknowledge that happened to me as a child and I don't like seeing that happen to people, but you necessarily want to cover every current situation you're in with that crayon or those difficult crayons. So all right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to teach you how to look below your anger. We'll be back in a minute.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus special financing on all smart beds. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing, enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. Right now you're listening to a song called Morning Mist from the Walking with the Spirits album by Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. Beautiful, beautiful album. And you can listen to Randy's music at randymcginnis.com. You can check out all six of his CDs that are just absolutely beautiful, relaxing, and amazingly gorgeous to listen to. Thank you, Randy, for allowing us to use your music on this show. I think it has helped heal a lot of people without them even knowing it. Okay, we're talking about anger. And what I want you to do is to stop for a minute and take a look at how anger works. All right? So if you think of anger as something that makes you want to push things away, so anger is this outward flowing emotion from you. Think of like a dog backed into the corner growling and snarling because they're feeling threatened. The growling and the snarling is like, get away from me, move back, get out of my face or I'm going to attack. All right. So anger has this push people away from you feeling because you feel unsafe. You feel attacked or disregarded or misunderstood. Are righteously indignant because something you value has not gone your way. So anger is a push you away emotion. Now, underneath anger is a wall. And that wall is either pretty transparent, maybe almost non-existent, or super thick and super dense. It depends on how aware you are of who you are and why you feel certain ways. If you are very closed off to the underlying feelings of anger, then you might stop right there. I'm just mad and I deserve to be mad and you made me mad and you hurt my feelings or you, and you're just angry and spouting off. So if you're really developed, the feeling of anger is a call to consciousness. So you say to yourself, wow, I'm angry. So what am I really feeling? And it's interesting. I don't think of anger as not a real feeling. I think it's a very righteous emotion. But if you are developed, it is a call to consciousness. And you say, what else am I feeling? What was I feeling that made me respond with trying to push everybody away? Or get even? Or take revenge? Or hurt you more than you hurt me? Those are all feelings of anger, right? And they all serve to push people away from you so that you don't have to get close. So if we look underneath that wall, underneath anger, those are the feelings that make you want to kind of pull into a fetal position and guard yourself. Things like fear, embarrassment, depression, misery, pain, emotional pain, physical pain even, feelings of rejection. And when you feel rejected, what you're really worrying is that if someone rejects you and doesn't like you, they're going to abandon you. And so that leads to all those feelings of I'm not good enough, you're going to reject me, you're not going to stay, I'm going to lose more people in my life, I'm going to be set aside, disregarded, not valued. And those are all the inward feeling emotions that reside underneath that wall. So let's back up a minute. Let's say somebody hurts your feelings, doesn't show up, and you feel disregarded, disrespected, forgotten, and you get angry because they didn't show up for something they were supposed to show up for. If you stop and say, okay, I'm really angry that my friend didn't show up, what am I feeling? Well, I'm kind of embarrassed. They didn't show, and that makes me look kind of like, do I look bad sitting here waiting? Does that mean they don't care about me? Did they get a better offer? Did they totally forget about me? Am I not good enough? What's wrong with our friendship that they would do that? So those are all those internal feelings of shame or guilt or depression or feeling rejected and not good enough. And so when you look at those feelings, then you can decide what to do with those. When you only feel anger and you explode with anger, you're not getting anywhere. Plus, you end up looking like an idiot, or you look worse or more nasty than the person you're angry at. So let's take a concrete example. All right, let's say you're in Dr. Patty's office and you're doing a therapy session with your significant other or your child or your parent or your whatever. Okay, you're doing a therapy session to work on a relationship that has some hostility in it. And one of the people says to the other one, well, you're just horrible and you blow things up all the time and you don't try very hard and you're lazy and they go off on you. And you get your feelings hurt and you're embarrassed and you feel like they're putting you down and it's unfair. So you go off right back at them and start accusing them of things and try to bring them down a few notches. And then I say, whoa, time out, everybody. What are you guys really feeling? And usually I get looked at with like, huh? What? What am I really feeling? I'm mad. She made me mad. Like, yeah, okay, you're mad, but I teach them how to look underneath the anger. So next time you get in a fight with someone really important to you and they make you mad, it's unfair, it's unjust, you feel justifiably indignant and angry and your point of view is the right one and theirs is the wrong one and you want to make your opinion known, what if you stopped and said how you really feel? I'm concerned, or I feel that your attitude is not fair in looking at who I am as well, and you explain how you feel bad, how it hurts your feelings, how it's embarrassing, or you feel disregarded. What if you said what you really felt? What we're talking about is in order not to be angry, you have to be able to be vulnerable. And in order to be vulnerable, you have to have the ability and the skills to say, what am I feeling? This anger I'm feeling is a call to consciousness. Something triggered me to be angry. And what I want to find is, what's that trigger? And that's where I'm going to look underneath that wall and look at the emotions that make me pull inward, that make me feel the shame and the guilt and the loss and the depression and the unfairness and the, oh, why am I not important enough for someone to care about? Then what you want to do is you want to say, how old do these feelings feel? One of the things I ask clients a lot is, okay, hold that thought for a minute. Now tell me how old you feel. Don't think about it too hard. Don't analyze it intellectually. How old do you feel right now? And someone who really goes with the flow might say, oh, I feel like 5 or 6. I feel little. I just feel so vulnerable and little. Someone might say, oh, I just feel like an angry 15 or 16-year-old. If you really get in touch with what you're feeling underneath the anger and you ask yourself, how old do I feel? How old is this emotion? How long have I been feeling indignant and justifiably angry and how long has fairness been an issue for me? Because one, it's really eye-opening for clients in my office to figure out that life is not fair. Okay, I'm pausing there on purpose, you guys. Life is not fair. And they get really mad at the unfairness, the lack of justification, or the you don't see it my way. And they say, well, isn't life supposed to be fair? Well, if you're 9 or 10, yeah, you think life is supposed to be fair. But after that, we're supposed to outgrow that and recognize life isn't always fair, and that we can either be pissed off constantly that life isn't fair, or we can learn how to go with the flow a little bit, mitigate things, recognize that it doesn't always go our way, make the best of stuff, extend your frustration tolerance, and begin to stop assuming that life is going to be fair all the time and you get to be justifiably angry when it's not. Does that make sense? It is a mouthful, because I literally see people stare at me in my office sometimes and I say, how long have you thought things were supposed to be fair at your office or in your relationship? Or when is life ever fair? And when it is, don't we feel kind of lucky instead of feeling frustrated and angry when it isn't fair? It's a really important aspect to look at. So let me sum this up before we go to break here. Anger is an outward flowing emotion. It makes you say, get away from me. The look on your face, the body posture, everything makes you feel threatening to others and you want them out of your face. Underneath anger is a wall. If you are developed and aware, that wall is very porous, non-existent, very thin. If you are not a very aware person, that wall can be 12-foot thick concrete and you don't ever see under it. So my challenge to you is to start to look underneath your anger by asking yourself, what am I really upset about? My anger is my call to consciousness. Something triggered me of fear, embarrassment, shame, guilt, misery, rejection, abandonment, unfairness. Look at those emotions and say, oh, there's that shame thing. Things make me feel so shameful, and then I get angry and push you away. Now, in order to say what is really going on deep inside myself, you have to be willing to be vulnerable, because you're probably going to touch on some old owie, all right? You're going to touch on the time that you were traumatized, abuse, molest, rape. You're going to touch on times that you grew up and it wasn't fair. Your sibling was the golden child and you were the one that was treated unfairly. You're going to touch on an old trauma that has fueled your anger for many, many years. This insight into your soul is so freeing when you get a handle on it. I just love watching people in therapy when they finally figure out what they've been carrying around in a couple of 100-pound suitcases for most of their life. And they say, wow, you know, I don't need to carry that anymore. Because it really colors who you are, how you respond to people, and what are you going to do when something doesn't go your way? Because most of you know, every single day, there are things that don't go our way, or that aren't easy, or that we wish to snap together when they don't. So, I hope you got out of this section why anger is a call to consciousness and how to look deeper and underneath that anger to figure out what your triggers are and what's really going on deep inside you. It is the first huge step to healing. All right, going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to learn some more about anger. Be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents The Rocky Horror Show. Its first production at their new theater at 2613 Bocelli Lane in Reading. This cult classic tells the musical tale of the newly engaged Brad and Janet, who get caught in a storm near the home of Dr. Frankenfurter and are in for a wild night of misadventure. The Rocky Horror Show, on stage at Axiom Repertory Theater October 17th through Halloween. Full audience participation is encouraged. Axiom's next stage is here, and it's here thanks to you. Tickets and information at axreptheater.com.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. The song you're listening to right now is Patience, which is really a good song for this show today. This is also from the Walking with the Spirits album, which is the CD that Randy McGinnis did with the lead violinist from the Prague Symphony, Lucille Carlson. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful album with classical violin and Native American flute. Randy played on the stage with the Prague Symphony, and it was quite an honor that he talks about. Okay, everybody, we're talking about anger. So I'm asking you how much control you have over your anger. And I also want to know what you do with it when you're angry. There's this kind of syndrome that I call the kick the dog syndrome. That's where something else makes you mad and you take it out on something or someone else. Like the example is the kick the dog syndrome. You're mad at your wife or your husband or something, and the dog comes up and you push it away. Hopefully you don't abuse animals, but you know what I'm talking about. You take it out on something that is not their fault. I've had people that I've heard say, you know, the crap rolls downhill. If you're angry at me, then I'm going to be angry at who I deem as less powerful than me. And the anger just keeps going throughout a family. So if you're someone who displaces your anger, you need to stop and look at that, because it's not developed. You're not stopping to say, what makes me angry and what are my triggers and what am I truly feeling inside, and then dealing with that feeling appropriately. Let me give you another example that I see, and that's the hate the step-parent thing. Let's say that your parents got divorced and then your parents remarry to other people, not each other again, and the siblings in the family hate the step-parents. And maybe it's because the step-parents are nasty-ass people, I don't know, but maybe it's because it has nothing to do with the step-parents. It has to do with the fact that you're angry about your parents' divorce, you're really angry that they, quote-unquote, replaced your parent with the step-parent, and you're just not going to like that step-parent no matter what. And you're angry, and you act out your anger toward that person. When you stop and look at that, that's a perfect example of looking beneath your anger and saying, I've got a lot of trauma with my parents' divorce, and it's made me feel unimportant, and if only they loved the kids in the family more, they wouldn't have gotten divorced. They would have worked things out. And then how dare they go on and leave us all hurting, but they go on and replace my other parent in their life and start a whole new family or a whole new life. The anger and the hostility and the rejection and the embarrassment and the shame and the feeling of you don't love me enough, and if only you loved me more, you would have done something different, all can fuel that underlying rage and the underlying anger. But that's a really good example of that kick the dog thing. What if it's not that step-parent's fault? It's your own trauma that you have not dealt with because it's a really touchy, angry, hard emotional spot for you to go to, so you avoid it. It really doesn't serve you, and it doesn't serve the person you're acting your anger out onto. So if you're a person who does that, acts out anger onto other people, you need to stop and take a good hard look at yourself. The other thing I hear all the time is when the dad's coming home, this is just an example of, because it can be the other way around too. But when dad's coming home, everybody braces himself because we don't know if he's going to be angry and hostile and basically doing the kick the dog thing, taking out on us all his frustrations from his workday, and grumpy and snapping at people and irritable. And so we all run and hide in the family. And I've heard that scenario, God, 30 years, probably a bunch of times per week, that there's somebody who cannot control their irritation, their frustration, their anger, their disappointment in others, so they come home and take it out on their family. That's the kick the dog syndrome. If you're doing that, then you are not being very developed with your anger. You're acting it out on other people, and you are creating an anger reaction that is unfair and undeveloped. And you need help working that out. Okay. So why is it so scary to be vulnerable when you're angry? If you look below your anger and you say, this is triggering me. I feel 15. I feel 7. This reminds me of my whole childhood. I look just like my father or my mother. I look just like the person I had all this trauma with when I get angry. And I hate that about myself. I don't like myself when I get angry. If you're doing that, that's your call to consciousness for you to begin to resolve this by working through those underlying issues so that they aren't your trigger anymore. They don't run your life anymore, and they don't ruin your current relationships. Let's talk for a minute about what it's like to get hijacked, okay? Hijacked, there's this little thing in the middle of your brain called the amygdala. It's about the size of a walnut, and that amygdala in your brain is the center for fight, flight, or freeze. When you get angry, when you get triggered, and you go off, that's what psychologists call being hijacked, all right? So let's say you get a little bit irritated, then a little more, and then the person doesn't listen, and then you're trying to stay patient, and then it's building up, and all of a sudden you snap. And you're screaming and yelling, and you can hardly remember what you're saying, and the words coming out of your mouth are really nasty, and you're saying things just to hurt someone. You're hijacked. When someone is hijacked, it takes 20 to 30 minutes for them to get unhijacked. But during that time of being hijacked, you can say and do a lot of destructive things. That's where people punch walls and throw things and break things and slam doors and knock them, you know, break the door and take your spouse's favorite thing and bust it just because you know it's really going to hurt them. I had one client say in my office once, you know, when people get angry, they don't grab their own stuff and break it. They grab yours. And I said, yeah, why is that? And this person I'm thinking of right at the moment looks at her husband and goes, why don't you break your own crap, not mine? And we talked about it. And it is that subconscious desire to hurt you by taking your favorite stuff and breaking it to show you that I can hurt you. Look how undeveloped that is. When you have to punch things, break things, hurt things, there are constructive things you can do with that pent-up energy. I mean, go out and chop wood. Go run around the block. Go shoot hoops. Get a tetherball and string it up and punch the tetherball around the pole. For those of you that don't know what tetherball is, you're probably too young. But it can really get some aggression out. Go punch your pillow. Go scream into the carpet. Go do what you have to do to get your aggression out without harming someone or hurting someone until you learn to get a control on your anger. So getting hijacked, it's really important to know what hijacks you, how quickly you get hijacked, what you do when you're hijacked, and what you need to get unhijacked. Some people with very low frustration tolerances can get hijacked super, super easy. It takes just a little bit of something that irritates them or that's unfair or they think can justify their anger, and they get hijacked. What really helps to get unhijacked is music, any kind of music. Music is processed by your temporal lobes. So in order to listen to music and process it and sing along with it, you have to get out of your amygdala and get into your temporal lobes. Now, that's as simple as you can sit there and sing Jingle Bells or do something like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star or sing along with the radio. It can help calm you down. The other thing is anything that's bilateral, so you can walk. Walking is right brain, left brain, right brain, left brain. You can do tapping. If you get on YouTube and type in tapping and learn how to do tapping for anger relaxation and anxiety relaxation. If you're super angry at work, you can go in the bathroom, go in a stall, and do some tapping on your shoulder, inside of your shoulders, and calm yourself down. So getting hijacked, it's important to know that that is severe anger and excessive anger, but you also want to know how to control it. So what do you do when you lose control? Do you get physical? Do you get mean? Do you get verbal? Do you resist when you're angry? Do you try to not make a scene and have to force yourself not to? Do you get punitive to people? When you're angry, do you want to make everybody around you be punished and to know what you feel and why? So this is why I'm telling you that anger is an insight into your soul. It's an insight into who you are as a person, and it's an insight into how developed you are emotionally. Because if you have to be condemning and mean and put people down and be right all the time and be justifiably angry and act your anger out and think that you're doing the right thing there, you're probably not very developed, and you're not getting your point across when you're doing the act out your anger on somebody else, when you're really angry at something else been happening. So it's a very powerful emotion, and it's really cool to begin to learn how you do anger and why you do it like that and how long has it been going on for you. And have you said before, I really need to work on my anger? Or has someone said to you, if you don't get a handle on your anger, you're going to ruin our relationship, or you're going to end up in jail, or you're going to hurt somebody sometime that is going to get the better of you. You might pick a fight with somebody you should not be picking a fight with, and you're going to pay. Look at road rage. You know, do you get easily angry when somebody cuts you off? Do you assign blame and intention when somebody makes a mistake? Somebody cuts you off and you go, you know, hey, call them a name, you know, driving like, and you're screaming and yelling at them in the car. How does that affect you? How does that affect your kids in the car? Think about it. When you lose control of your temper and you feel righteously angry and are screaming and yelling, how does it affect those around you? We're going to go to break in a couple minutes, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about different types of anger, and I want to leave you in that last section with how can you take a good hard look at yourself to begin to really change this kind of anger and begin to evolve a little bit so that you become somebody that looks like they have more wisdom than they look like they have a short fuse. That you are somebody who can be counted on to practice silence and make a thoughtful response to a difficult situation as opposed to just spouting off and being hurtful. Wouldn't we all like to be seen as wise and calm and fair and open to listening to others' points of view as opposed to the hothead, snarling, aggressive person who breaks things and puts people down and feels so justifiably right in their own thoughts and actions that everybody else should bow down and listen and do as you say because you are so right. Which person would you like to be? Which one do you want to model for your children? It's important. All right, we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in a minute.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. My producer, Jared, who picks the music for the song, which I just love, he picked Faces in the Fire from the Walking with the Spirits album as a perfect song for this show. Jared, you have excellent taste. Thank you. Okay. All right, we're talking about anger. And I'm asking you to look at the types of anger real quick, and then we're going to talk about some ways to get to the bottom of it. A lot of anger is passive-aggressive anger. I think of that kind of anger as people who leak around the edges. That means you feel something angry and aggressive, but you don't want to face it, you don't want to deal with it, you're too shy to talk about it, you're too insecure to talk about it, or you don't trust yourself that you'll go off half-cocked if you do talk about it. So you aggressively feel something inside and you passively express it, either by making comments or being rude to somebody else because you're angry at someone else. You kind of leak around the edges. Then there's the people with the short fuse and the sudden volatile rage. They're kind of exploders. They're like a volcano that you didn't know was going to erupt, and all of a sudden they're spewing their lava all over the place. So I think of those kind of as exploders. There's people that are self-abusive. As soon as they get angry, they're putting themselves down. They're feeling like an idiot. They're all the way from just silently angry and berating themselves to actually doing self-harm or feeling suicidal. A lot of people have habit energy. And by habit energy, I mean you've done it so much that you've got a lot of energy involved in continuing the habit of how you do something. And they give themselves permission to rage. When you're angry, I can stomp around, I can punch walls, I can break my fist, I can the kick the dog syndrome. I'm angry and I give myself permission to rage. Then there's that judgmental, moral outrage, feeling justified, telling someone else that they aren't correct, they aren't good enough, they misunderstand, they have their politics all wrong, or their religion all wrong, or they have how they parent all wrong. And there's that judgmental, moral outrage that sometimes people feel like when they're so right, they have the permission from the world to spout their opinion, and everybody should listen. There's also people with super low frustration tolerance, and when easily frustrated, it turns into anger very quickly at anyone around them and at themselves and even at inanimate objects. There's also retaliatory kind of angry. I'm going to hurt you back. I'm going to show you. I'm going to say something worse. I'm going to cut you down. I'm going to take something I know you're sensitive about and put you down about it. And that is abuse. That is totally abuse. If you know that somebody's sensitive about something on their body, the way they look, and you then tease them about that or you use it in anger at them, that is abuse. It's mean. And some people instinctively go to the very worst things they can think of to put somebody down, to make them angry back, and to hurt them and retaliate. And it causes huge damage in relationships. It ruins trust. It makes you not a safe person with the one that you are retaliating against and bringing up either old stuff or stuff that's not true. How many times I've heard in my office somebody say, I said things that I didn't mean. I said them just to hurt you. It ruins relationships. And it's very, very difficult on people trying to heal. Okay, so let's look at what do you do to try and heal from anger. How do you try to do this differently? First off, you've got to use anger as a call to consciousness. And you have to say, what was my trigger? Right? What made me escalate? And how did I respond when I got triggered and when I escalated into some kind of big scene or big chaos? What was the crisis going on? Right? And then when I start to calm down, excuse me, when I start to calm down, what, as I'm recovering from this, what am I thinking? Like, why did I lose my temper? Or, boy, they deserve to hear that. What are you doing as you calm down? What are your thoughts? And then, really importantly, what are your regrets? Did you break something? Did you hurt someone really badly? Did you say something that you not only didn't mean, but has wounded the person forever? Because words can cut like a knife, and it's not that easy to heal from a big explosive anger attack. All right, so you have to stop and look at your own anger. You got to face it. That you have an anger problem, or that you handle your anger in an immature, inappropriate manner? Do you feel self-justified in being the one who controls your whole household with your temper, your outbursts, your justification for how you behave? So you've got to take a look at it. You've got to own it, all right? Then you have to start to figure it out. We use the anger as a call to consciousness to look below the wall. What am I embarrassed about? Where do I hold shame? If I have habit energy around getting mad whenever somebody says or does something in this kind of context, and that's my trigger because I had that as a child, or my ex-husband or my ex-wife treated me like that, and I just can't stand it when I see that happening. What is your justifiable rage that you've got going? And how do you handle that when it happens? So instead of pushing it away and ignoring it or burying it deep inside, you use that anger as an insight into your soul and ask yourself, where'd that come from and how old is it? So I'm asking you, are you brave enough to be vulnerable? Can you stop and say, I'm going to look down deep? And I'm going to see what I'm really upset about. And here's one of the hardest things about really looking deep inside your anger. We're often not angry at all. We're often very sad. There's loss and abandonment and depression and a loss of dreams or hopes. Or if only you had loved me more, you wouldn't have hurt me like that. And if you didn't love me enough to not hurt me, that must mean I'm not very valuable. I'm not worth loving. You, this important person in my life, has proven to me that you could throw me away. And so Is your anger really covering up a deep sense of sadness and loss that's hard to face? When we face those internal things of sadness or loss or regret or feeling like somebody's thrown us away, when we face those things, there's a real insight into our soul. You know, you can listen to my podcast, I'm Not Begging Anyone to Love Me. If someone has abandoned you and stopped loving you and thrown you away, that podcast is not about being righteously indignant and angry. It's about recognizing that sometimes you've done everything you can and you have to let go. And you can't keep trying to beg somebody to make you feel differently so that you don't have to be angry in your world anymore. So one of the biggest turning points in anger is when you say, I have a problem. When you say, the way I do anger is not healthy, it's harming others, it's harming myself, I don't feel like a calm and wise person. When things happen, I feel like a hothead, I feel chaotic, I cause harm to others, and I'm willing to take a look at myself. So after a rage has happened, after you've been angry, look at the remorse, the self-loathing, the fear of loss, which is what probably makes you go back to the person and say, I said things I didn't mean, I'm sorry. If you are big enough to say, I'm sorry. A whole lot of people that do rage and are not developed enough to do anger in a healthy manner, they're not big enough to say, I'm sorry either. If you have been purposely hurtful, revengeful, and have tried to hurt someone in anger, and you go to them and say, the way I handled that was totally inappropriate, and I caused harm, and I deeply apologize for my behavior, and more importantly, I'm going to take a good hard look at my behavior, because this is not the first time I've done this, what I did to you. It's not the first time I've done this to myself, and I need to change. I need to grow here. Wow. Can you imagine if you had a really angry person in your family that came to you and said that and said, I'm going to work on this. But for right now, I'm going to tell you that I see what I did and I see the harm that I caused and I deeply apologize. And you don't add the but. But if you hadn't, then I wouldn't have. No, 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 no. Stop with the apology and be quiet. It can create a lot of healing if you do that. But the most important part is you have to be willing to look at yourself, a good hard look at yourself, and do it differently. Because if you can learn how to practice silence and wait until you have control of your emotions or you understand what you're feeling or what you've been triggered by, what you're really feeling deep inside, and you can risk being vulnerable, then you can handle your emotions in a much more developed and mature manner. It doesn't mean you don't get angry. It just means your anger is a call to consciousness. If you look at somebody and say, look, I'm feeling really angry, and before I talk about this, I want to figure out what I'm feeling because I don't want to say something inappropriate out of anger. Give me a minute. Practice silence. Step away. If you can't get away, then you have to go to the bathroom, right? Nobody's going to stop you from going into the bathroom. You say, I'll talk to you about this in just a minute. And you go into the bathroom and you stand there and you say, what am I feeling? What's underneath my wall? What's really going on here inside of myself? You know, another of the podcasts you need to listen to is Loving Yourself, because so often anger is based on feeling abandoned and unwanted, which makes us feel like we're not worth loving. So if you've listened to this show today, I hope you got something out of it and it can begin to heal you and heal your relationships, because this is a true insight into your soul. Anger is a blessing when it's an insight. It can be harmful when you're closed off and you refuse to be vulnerable and look at it. So I want to thank you for joining me here on Therapy in a Nutshell today. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You can listen to my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay Therapy in a Nutshell podcast. And there's over 130-something titles to help you on all kinds of things. So thank you for tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. And all I want to do is help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.